This is the Premier League Preview Podcast. Follow us on Twitter at @Premier_podcast. Find us on Facebook under Premier League Preview Podcast or online at plpreview.com. Hello, you're very welcome to the Premier League Preview Podcast. We're looking at match week 18. The match weeks are coming thick and fast with the Christmas fixtures. I'm not going to start off this week's podcast by singing because...
Thank you, Lord.
There was a bit of a kickback from last week's singing adventure. So I think I'm just going to be very professional about the start of this week's podcast. I will say, if you're listening, thanks for listening. And do follow us on Twitter at @Premier_podcast. Follow us on Facebook, Premier League Preview Podcast. Visit our website, plpreview.com. We have set up a Patreon. And seeing as it is the season for giving...
Yeah.
We would be very grateful if you went on and bought us a coffee if you enjoy our podcast, or, you know.
I'll be spending mine on Guinness, the mine coffee.
Yeah, I don't like begging for money, but we do put a lot of work into this podcast. And if you appreciate it, it would be nice if you showed your appreciation. That's all I'd say. Anyway, moving swiftly onward from that. Big game this week has to be Manchester City Leicester.
Yes, it does. It's tasty, baby.
But is it a battle for first or is it a battle for second?
It's hard to know. Leicester looked like they may have kind of sealed their own fate. Well, that's what the kind of the papers let you believe, lead you to believe anyway. But obviously, we all know that things can change very quickly in this league. But this is crucial from winning the Premier League perspective. Leicester have to win. City have to win.
Yeah.
If this is a draw. And you look at it and you could have Liverpool coming back with a game in hand against Leicester as well, which would be huge.
Yeah.
And that could end up nearly...
Well, their game in hand won't be against Leicester. Their game in hand will be against West Ham.
Their next game will be against Leicester. And that will put a further nail in everyone else's coffin if they were to go and beat Leicester.
Yeah.
But from this game's perspective, I think now it's just about getting back on the right track again for Leicester, trying to get the momentum going again after a disappointing draw against Norwich.
Yeah.
And for City, it's about trying to bridge that gap and just continually building up points. And just City will plug away now, and they won't drop that many points, I don't think, from here on over Christmas. But they will just be trying to rack up the points and see where that leaves them maybe come the end of January.
I suppose if you're City or even Leicester, you have to be looking at Liverpool and trying to find any positives you can. Liverpool are obviously they're travelling far afield for this competition. You would be hoping that maybe they don't come back as fully fit as they left. There's news today that Van Dijk and Wijnaldum both sat out training in Qatar. So, you know, Van Dijk would be a massive loss to Liverpool. And if you're City or Leicester, you'd be looking at that and thinking, you know, you have to be looking at these small little things because Liverpool aren't conceding points anywhere.
Yeah, they're not dropping any points. And no, you never know. Leicester have been in incredible form, sparing that Norwich result. They've been brilliant.
Yeah.
So if they're to recapture that form quickly, now we're talking ifs and buts here, and we're talking to Liverpool Leicester, which is obviously the week after this, but they have an incredibly tough fixture now to go to the Etihad after a disappointing draw.
Yeah.
This will be a kind of a season defining moment, you feel, for Leicester. If they go and lose this, you could see them going backward rather than forward.
Yeah.
And if they were to somehow manage and go and win at the Etihad, you could see it being huge for their season and really kickstarting their charge toward Liverpool again. And that would roll lovely then into their Liverpool game on Stephen's Day, or Boxing Day, sorry. That's going to be a huge... This 5 days for Leicester is season defining.
Now, yeah.
I think every game nearly for City now, because they're, 10 points adrift? No, sorry, 14 points adrift. Jeez, my memory is... 2 or 3 weeks further afield. But this is every game is season defining for Man City. They have to win probably every game until the end of the season. They'll give it a good rattle. I can guarantee you they've lost 4 games in 17. They probably won't lose another 4 this season, I reckon.
No, so, unlikely. I think we need to take a moment to mention the absolute masterclass that Kevin De Bruyne put on at the weekend against Arsenal.
Yeah, it was just incredible. Absolutely and utterly incredible. It was just watching a genius do what he does best.
There is no doubt in my mind, and the weekend definitely confirmed it, that there is no better midfielder in the Premier League.
No, there isn't.
He's unreal.
He's probably himself, maybe Sadio Mane, Jamie Vardy are probably the three contenders. I would wager for player of the year so far.
Yeah,
and he to me is ahead of everyone else
by
he
a long
been
shot.
Incredible. Yeah, oh, that absolutely. Was just an incredible performance. Like,
City, I suppose, with being 14 points behind, would probably be looking at maybe that the Premier League is a little bit out of their reach, and maybe their focus would be on the Champions League. However, they got a bit of a stinker of a draw today in that competition. They have to
go to Real, yeah. Are they away first or home? Can you remember off? I suppose it doesn't really matter. Eventually, they're going to have to go to Madrid.
They topped the group, which means they are
away first and away home first, second. Yeah, yeah.
Home second, yeah.
But not ideal for Man City. But look, if you want to win a Champions League, you have to beat teams like Real Madrid.
Exactly,
you have to beat the best teams. So look, it doesn't matter really when you meet them. If you're good enough, you're going to beat them over two legs.
Yeah.
There's no hard luck stories usually until maybe you get to the final. Because three hours of football is enough to, I suppose, for class to shine through.
But Liverpool proved that in the past two seasons against Roma and Barcelona. You have to go out there and beat the best teams over two legs.
Like. And to be honest, though, I think Pep Guardiola has been clever about kind of publicly ruling his side out of the Premier League race, because he's taken the pressure off them.
Yeah.
And don't forget, this team went on a ridiculous run of games last year, and they could do it again. And just say Liverpool drop a couple of points here and there, then all of a sudden it starts to get tight. Liverpool may get nervous. I can guarantee City don't think they're out of this yet. If they will genuinely believe they can win every game they play. So, no, that may still not be enough, but I genuinely don't think that they feel like they're out of it. Now, it looks as if they're out of it, but they will approach every game as if they can win it, and I guarantee you they won't lose four more games this season. And if Liverpool hit a bit of a slump, who knows? We've seen this countless times before. Who knows?
As far as I know, City actually played twice before Liverpool play, which I know Liverpool have games in hand and all that sort of stuff, but it's the old adage, points on the board are better than games in hand.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, and
Liverpool have to play Leicester next.
If they can close that gap to 6-7 points, and then even with Liverpool having games in hand, it puts more pressure on Liverpool because it's a smaller point gap.
It's not as aesthetically pleasing for Liverpool and their fans when they see City 8 points behind. Even if there is two games in hand, it doesn't matter. It's still different. It still just closes that gap mentally.
Yeah.
So this is a crucial time now. These next maybe three game weeks, you have the Leicester City game, or City Leicester game, sorry. Then you have Leicester, Liverpool, and then you have the games around New Year's Day.
Yeah.
They are crucial for the top three.
Absolutely.
To me now, Chelsea are obviously detached, and they're looking elsewhere now. They're looking behind them to survive for the top four. But if the other two, if second and third, Leicester and City, have designs at all on winning the league, they're going to have to take points off Liverpool, and Liverpool will have to drop points in the next three games, I think.
I suppose, looking at this kind of rationally, given the points gap that Liverpool have and how few points they've dropped in the past couple of seasons, you would think that Leicester winning this game would keep the championship open between Leicester and Liverpool to a certain extent. But a draw or City winning, it kind of, you'd be pretty much thinking that's handing the league to Liverpool.
You'd think that, but what if Leicester then go and beat Liverpool on Stephen's Day or Boxing Day? That's just it blows it all wide open again. So I say,
can you see Liverpool losing four games between now and the end of the season?
I mean, it's possible. Might lose three or four, but then again,
you know,
who knows what will happen? What if Virgil van Dijk happens to be out for a month, six
that's
weeks?
That's exactly what I was just about to say. Yeah,
just do not, and then all of a sudden you're looking weak at the back, and Liverpool have looked suspect enough at the back. Now, not in the last three or four games, they've gone three clean sheets in a row, and they look a lot more solid in the last month than they did at the start of the season. But you could return to that, and then you're without van Dijk, and things are looking a lot hairier. Sorry.
An important point has to be made. Liverpool are without Dejan Lovren, Joel Matip and Fabinho. They're three of their most important defensive players. If they lose Virgil van Dijk, that leaves them with one recognised centre-back, which is Joe Gomez.
Yeah, and he hasn't been playing in that position for a while.
Yeah, he played one game last week because Lovren was out injured. That leaves them one recognised centre-back, and then they're looking to the youth squad to try and to fill Virgil van Dijk's shoes. You know, and with Wijnaldum picking up a hamstring injury as well, he's been kind of stepping into that defensive role that Fabinho was in. So, you know, people talk about City's injury frailties, but Liverpool things that could be get very worrying for Liverpool, and that they've been doing well carrying the injuries they have, but one or two more out and you know, they could really start to be in trouble.
Oh, for sure. And I think that's a nice segue into actually looking at this game, mentioning City's defensive frailties, because we saw it against Man United where the speed of the Man United counter had City in all sorts of bother. They were just completely at sixes and sevens.
Yeah,
and when you now have Vardy playing on the shoulder. I don't know what John Stones' situation is. He went off injured. I don't against Man United. I can't remember offhand. Did he play last weekend? I don't think he did.
He didn't.
Otamendi played.
Yes.
So you now have a pretty suspect back four that maybe are caught for a bit of speed.
Yeah.
With Vardy playing on the shoulder and a ruthless counter-attack from Leicester and a team that can also pick you apart. So while we can say, oh yeah, City are starting to look somewhat ruthless again after whatever you think of their performance against Arsenal, this game does pose a very tough challenge for them and for Guardiola to try and stop Leicester.
If I'm Brendan Rodgers and Leicester City, I'm licking my lips looking at this game, because City are without their best defenders. Fernandinho is playing at centre back. Their replacement holding midfielder Rodri really hasn't cut it in a defensive role. So like, when they can go out in games against Arsenal and just be on the front foot all the time, then that's handy enough. But when you've got Jamie Vardy running at you at pace, or Iheanacho, or players like that, Ndidi and Tielemans creating those passes for those players, it's not as easy as they're going to have. They had it at the weekend against Arsenal.
No, it isn't going to be at all. No, that was an absolutely and utterly abject performance from Arsenal. We'll get on to them in a while, but that was atrocious. You can't, while De Bruyne was incredible and while City were completely dominant, you can't really judge City or Arsenal on it. Well, you can judge Arsenal on it. You can't judge City on it because they didn't have much to beat. But this will be a hell of a lot different. You're coming up against the most rigid defence in the Premier League. You're coming up against one of the best attacks in the league, and their primary asset is speed and moving the ball quickly. And that's when City can be caught out. And that is a major, major issue for City.
Leicester City have conceded 11 goals this season.
Yeah.
Liverpool have conceded 14. City have conceded 19.
Yeah, it's a bit of a jump up. Like,
so it is.
That itself is reflective as to how rigid Leicester are. They are rock solid.
Yeah.
Most of the time at the back. Every team is susceptible to mistakes.
Crystal Palace are sitting in 10th and they've conceded one less goal than Manchester City.
Yeah, so they are. We've seen, we've talked about it at length. City have defensive woes at the minute, and Leicester can exploit them if they get the game plan right. But what you need is what Leicester can do as well, is you have to play out from the back against City and retain possession.
Yeah.
And if you can, if they do retain possession, they're in with a good shout. But if they don't, and if they let City hold the ball and dominate possession, City will win. Yeah. But if Leicester can hold possession, play out from the back, hit them on the counter when they get the chance, which they're brilliant at, they're incredible at, and Vardy is razor sharp at the minute as well.
Yeah.
So if they are able to do that, they can get this. I'm actually finding this game tough enough to call.
I think Leicester City are going to win it.
Do you? That is a big shout. Well, to an extent, because you're obviously backing a team to beat, you know, beat City in the Etihad. United did it 2 weeks ago. But
I'm just looking at what United were able to do against City.
Yeah,
and the power and pace of United up front. And we know United's squad at the moment is not good, and they're not the best United. We've spoken about that at length, but that pace of Martial and Rashford and Lingard just terrified City. You could sense the panic of City. Mm. And when you've got a player who's the top scorer in the Premier League at the moment and is terrorising defences up and down the league, they have to be worried.
Is it a case of fool me once, shame on you? And will City have a plan for that? What is the plan, I suppose? What could the plan be?
Nearly every team in the league has had a plan for Vardy this season and it hasn't worked out.
Yeah.
You know, and I think Leicester are playing some incredible football at the moment. And even if Vardy doesn't get you, they'd create chances from other angles. I just think Leicester are in far better form. I think City have mentally probably given up on the league at this point and they're just going to focus on the Champions League. And I think City players in the defensive areas don't even believe they're good enough to play against those fast forwards.
And that was
really evident when they played against Manchester United.
I think it's hugely important as to what will Leicester react to their Norwich result? Because that's huge. That's going to be massive for them. Like if they took that as, oh, look, there's our chance gone, and now we've to roll into the Etihad, that could be tough.
But even for Leicester and for Brendan Rodgers, there's a massive accolade of finishing second. Like,
It is, but I don't know if they're... I don't think they're thinking about it like that. I don't think any team that goes and wins, what, 8 in a row?
But I don't
think they think like that.
I don't think that they're going to think that their chance for first is gone, so they're going to give up. I think they'd just be as determined to win every game. And I think that they're set up to take every game as it comes and to win every game.
Mm. Yeah.
It didn't work for them against Norwich, but, you know, that could have been the kick in the arse they needed right before the City game.
Yeah, quite possibly. Norwich, in fairness, have thrown up some weird results as well. They didn't, we have to remember, managed to beat Man City.
Yeah.
So it is, they're like, they can be a bogey, they can be weird, and when it clicks for them, they can catch teams.
Yeah.
So we mustn't say that a draw against Norwich is the worst result in the history of the world either. But at the same time, it was a disappointment for Leicester, and they will have to rebound from it. To me, this is a hard place to go and rebound, so I'm slightly favouring City here. And I just have a funny feeling that City, in the last game and a half, the second half of the Man United game, yeah, they were all over them. And half-time came at the right... I said this last week. Half-time came at the right time for Man United.
I think that was more down to United changing their tack and trying to hold on to their lead.
Maybe
than
they
City
sat back,
getting better.
But to me, in the last maybe, 135 minutes of football, like over 2 hours of football, they have really, really clicked, and that's without Aguero.
Well,
I can see him continuing that.
Arsenal created some good chances that they didn't take in the first half against City. Now, City were far better throughout the game. De Bruyne put on a masterclass, as we said. But even with Arsenal being so poor, they created some quality chances that they should have finished. And that game could have been the scoreline in that game. Like in the first 60 seconds, Martinelli missed a sitter.
Yeah.
And then City went up and scored at the other end. And we all know what happens when City score in the first minute and a half of a game. They've done it so many times, and then you may kiss the game goodnight.
Yeah,
you're done. Like,
that's true. That's true. My kind of intuition is telling me that City will outscore Leicester, but Leicester will catch them, and I think they'll have a few chances. All right. But I feel this is City's. I don't know. I don't know why. I just feel like they've clicked, and I just think they're going to go on a run. And they're going to go, I don't know if it's now, but they're going to go on a run soon. They're going to go on a big run soon. And this could be the game. Well, maybe Arsenal was the game last week that kickstarts it. But maybe. I just have a funny feeling that they're going to be a juggernaut for a while. And I just think this will be it. But I do think Leicester will pose their usual challenge. They are hard to beat. They're defensively solid. But City find a way. And I think City 2-1-ish. But I do think Leicester will score, because as we've spoken about the defensive frailties. But I just have a funny feeling that City will put on a bit of a show here on Saturday evening.
Here's an interesting little sidebar for you.
Go on.
Arsenal have only ever failed to score 3 times at the Emirates. Twice last season against Manchester City, and once this season against Manchester City.
Jesus. No, there's a stat for you. There's a stat.
Anyway, I'm going to go for a Leicester win on this.
Leicester win, that's fair enough. Any idea what way you think the game might pan out, or just Leicester will outscore Manchester City?
I think Leicester are probably going to do something similar to what Liverpool have done to City a few times in the last few seasons, and just hit them hard and fast in the first 20 minutes of the game and probably go 2 or 3 up, and City will be in shock and then try and pull the game back. That's the way I see it going.
That's fair enough. That's a bold call. I like it. I like it.
And you're going for a City win, are you?
I'm going for a City win. I think they'll just manage to hold possession more than Leicester would like. Leicester will hit them on the counter, and they'll do it effectively. They might. I do not think that they will score as much as Man City. And that's just simply because City will have too much of the ball, and they've clicked up front. De Bruyne is in incredible form. Jesus is scoring as well. And I just think City will just shed it.
Okay. Interesting. Right, the next big fixture of the weekend is Spurs-Chelsea in our London derby. Chelsea need to sort themselves out. They lost 4 out of their last 5.
Yeah, they do.
Lost 2 in a row now. And games that they shouldn't have lost. I mean, Bournemouth have been in horrible form. We spoke about it last week. And
West Ham were in awful form previous when they beat Chelsea too.
Exactly, yeah. So I don't know if it's a case of Chelsea players being too confident going into these games.
I think this is the slump. I think this is the inexperienced thing that I predicted earlier in the season. That
I have to say, in fairness to you, you did predict when Chelsea were on that incredible run where they won 7 games in a row, you did say that they will have a slump.
They will, because there's too many players being relied on that don't have the experience yet. And I think that also may come and bite Leicester. When things are going well, everything is going well for you, it's fine. You just keep that winning feeling and you're confident.
Yeah.
But when something just starts to go against you, then you haven't been to the well before like that and you haven't bounced back from things like that yet. That's hard to do. It's hard to do for the first time.
Yeah.
And I just think Chelsea are learning how to do this for the first time now. So, and Lampard hasn't been a manager that long either. He doesn't know how to outfox a lot of people in the Premier League yet. And that might just come back to bite them as well. Yeah, I strongly fancy Spurs here.
And the apprentice is going to take on the master.
Exactly.
The master's home
ground. The master knows exactly what to do with this team. I can guarantee you that. And while Spurs have been conceding under Mourinho in the start of his reign, the results have gone the right way.
Yeah.
And they're continuing to, you know, so I...
Apart from the United game, obviously.
Yeah, well, but to me, this looks a good opportunity for Mourinho to get bragging rights.
Yeah, in fairness to Mourinho and Spurs, they ground out a good result.
Spurs are at home. Sorry, that is Stamford Bridge. Spurs are at home.
Spurs at home, yeah. No, they ground out a good result against Wolves at the weekend, and we all know how well Wolves have been going. Wolves had not lost in 11 games. They've been stubborn against teams and they've been getting results and
nearly topped their group for Europa League as well.
They're into
the last 32, yeah.
And I know you might say it's Wolves and, you know, they're playing above their station, but to go to Molineux and beat them 2-1
is a good result, a very good result.
Exactly.
And the conditions were awful as well.
Conditions were awful and it was 1-1 for a long time as well, you know. So I think Chelsea would really, really need a turn in form to get something out of this game, because I think Chelsea play very expansive football under Lampard and kind of quick, pacey, you know, good attacking football, and that's defending against that is Mourinho's meat and drink.
He loves it.
Like,
he'll have this team set up very cleverly, and I think could be a long night for Chelsea. I just have a funny feeling that this is going to continue their bad run. But I've actually sat there and said this when I've been really bullish. I was also extremely bullish that Spurs were going to go and beat Man United.
Yeah, true.
I'm the first to admit that I get things wrong. But to me, Mourinho will be looking at this and he will be licking his lips. I think he's really going to fancy this one at the weekend.
Yeah, I think it's painful to say it, but there has been a massive turnaround under Mourinho from the form under Pochettino. Now, let's not forget that Pochettino had Spurs playing incredible football for many seasons, and it just went a bit sour for the first 8 weeks or 12 weeks or whatever it is season. So, but Mourinho has been able to reinvigorate them and get them back playing as good as they had been playing previously. They still have some defensive frailties. They've conceded in most of their games. I don't think they've kept a clean sheet since he came in. I might be wrong on that, but I think they had a 3-2, conceded two against United, and then
conceded against Wolves as well. They kept a clean sheet against Burnley 5-0.
Oh, that's right. That was the only one, but every other game they've conceded.
Yeah. But I know they can be got at the back, and I think maybe it's taking time because we all know Mourinho is going to shape this team slightly more defensively than Pochettino ever had it.
Yeah.
So that's going to take time to get used to, and there's probably players now playing in positions that they're just kind of starting to come to terms with.
Yeah.
And they're probably going to concede. But that will stop, I think. I think this will shore it up. Like, they've conceded 24 goals so far this season. I reckon they won't concede 24 in the next 20. There's 21 games left.
Yeah.
I reckon they won't concede 24 in the next 21 games.
I think that'll
improve.
He is very good at setting up sides defensively, and it's what he's built his career on the most part. I do think, as well as that, you have Kane and Song firing on all cylinders. Lucas Moura is playing great.
Yeah.
Mourinho seems to favour him more than Pochettino did. And to be honest, if I was Spurs manager, I'd be playing Lucas Moura every game.
Same.
As well.
I thought his form in the Champions League, especially last year, he was a big game player. And I thought, I don't think he got enough of a fair shake under Pochettino. Now, who knows why? There could be a million reasons why. He might have had niggly injuries. He mightn't have been putting in the work of training. You just don't know.
Yeah, I think behind Kane and Song, Pochettino kind of favoured more workman-like players.
Mm.
They were his two flair players, and then the others did the graft. And
fair enough.
I think that's kind of just the way he set up his team. But I am glad for Moura because I think he's a class player, and he's getting an opportunity to show it now in the Premier League.
I just don't see who pulls Chelsea out of this slump. Yeah. I don't see the leader. Maybe, like, I know you have some fairly tough heads in there, like Kovacic, maybe Kante if he comes back soon,
yeah,
and proper is firing fully fit. Azpilicueta, I'm not fully sure that he'll stand up and be a leader.
I think he does. I think Azpilicueta is the leader on the field. Like he leaves it all out there. Like he wears his heart in his sleeve and he leaves it all out in the pitch.
I just don't see who drives at the opposition in this team. I don't know. I just don't see a real tough skin that'll drive a team and turn this around for them.
Very much like Arsenal in that respect.
They
don't have a John Terry or a Frank Lampard on the pitch, mm-hmm. you know, to grab them by the scruff and drag them forward. Tammy Abraham, while he's had an incredible strike record this season, is he going to stand up and be counted in the big games? Is he the man to lead the line in games like this?
Yeah. It's interesting because everything was going right for him at the start of the season. Now, look, Chelsea are starting to find a bit of a slump. Last four or last five, that's more than a bit of a slump now. That's worrying.
Yeah.
So you're thinking, we need our big striker to pull us out of a hole here now and then. And if he doesn't, then the jury will be out.
And they've just drawn Bayern Munich in the Champions League. Bayern Munich who put 10 past Spurs over two legs.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's worrying.
They are absolutely flying. Yeah.
Let's make a prediction for this game. Obviously, based on what we were both saying, we both think that Spurs are going to win this game.
I do think Spurs will win, and I think they might win 2-0.
Yeah. I don't think they'll win 2-0. I think Chelsea will score, but I think Spurs will score more.
Mm.
That's pretty much how you win a game of football, isn't it?
that tends to be how you do it.
Yeah. Anyway, let's move on to another tasty fixture. And two teams with new managers, two teams with interim managers.
Mm.
Both probably hoping... Both former players. Both probably hoping to get a permanent job, and one of them only kind of looking likely to get a permanent job.
I reckon neither will get a permanent job, but yeah.
Everton versus Arsenal. I think Duncan Ferguson is probably doing enough and being passionate enough to get a permanent job, but I don't think he's the right man for the job. I think we've seen a lot of these ex-players who are passionate and roaring and shouting and getting behind the team having a temporary boost.
Yeah,
and
there's a trend.
And then it all falls apart.
There is a trend there and it's starting to be bucked.
Yeah.
I think a lot of those frailties that come with maybe not having the years of experience rather than just being a club legend.
Yeah.
I think that's starting to come home to roost for a lot of clubs now. And I think Big Dunk will eventually fall victim to it. But as of right now, he's done the job and he's done a job well. To go and beat Chelsea when they desperately need a result was huge. And
the draw against United.
Yeah, now, not a bad result. And they were the better team for a lot of it.
Well, I think it was fairly even. It was 50-50 throughout the game, I thought. United had spells and Everton had spells. Probably United created more chances when Everton were 1-0 up.
Mm.
Everton's goal was very lucky. It could have been ruled off for a foul on De Gea.
Yeah.
I kind of see why it wasn't ruled off, because I think the ball was kind of over De Gea when he was fouled.
Yeah.
But I could have seen, if it had been ruled out, I could have seen why it was ruled out as well, you know?
Yeah.
I don't think it's going to keep going as well for Duncan Ferguson and Everton. I really don't. I just think the initial boost it'll definitely wear off. And eventually, I think Arsenal, their opponents, under Freddie Ljungberg, under Unai Emery, under Pep Guardiola, under Jurgen Klopp, are just shite.
Yeah.
I think they need four or five players. I think they need a massive change in attitude to half of those players.
Huge.
I think they just, while they created one or two chances against City, and that was more because City were poor at the back, I think they look disinterested, some of the players. I think there's a massive attitude problem. I don't think they've backed Ljungberg.
I think Ljungberg is a coach, not a manager.
Yeah.
And I think there's a lack of leadership on and off the field. And I think that club has been atrociously mismanaged at the top levels for a long time.
Yeah.
And I think they're starting to look at ways out now. I think they want out. I think they want someone to buy the club. And I think that they're content to let it rot away until someone eventually makes an offer. And that's what it's looking like is going to happen to me.
It looks like to me, and we discussed this earlier on, it looks like to me the fact that they haven't brought in a permanent manager yet means it looks like that they're being turned down by people they've approached.
Yeah.
And it stinks of a situation that they're a club that are going to managers, not offering them enough money and not offering them transfer budgets.
Yeah. That's what the suspicion is at the minute.
I mean,
why hasn't Allegri or why hasn't Ancelotti, or not Ancelotti?
Ancelotti.
Why hasn't Allegri or Ancelotti even been signed yet? Ljungberg has come out and said he wants this situation sorted as quickly as possible.
Yeah.
He's basically saying, either give me a job or get someone else in quickly. So he's showing publicly that he's not happy with the current situation in the people above him in the club.
Yeah.
He's publicly calling them out. So look, I think that tells you where this club is right now.
It does smack of a club that wants buyers, want someone to take it over and to make those decisions. And they obviously don't have money to sign players and they don't have money to pay a top manager. Mm. It does appear that way. And that's probably from many years of mismanagement and very high wage bills. Like the likes of Mesut Ozil and Alexis Sanchez and players like that were probably on massive money. And you can guarantee the likes of Lacazette and Aubameyang are in there on good packages.
Yeah.
And I think it's starting to tell and it's starting to creak.
It is, yeah. And I think the sooner that they make either a quick kill and get someone in, bite the bullet and pay them the money that they need and give them the transfer budget that they need, because a lot of that Arsenal team are pure shite and there's no two ways about it.
I mean, if you look at that Arsenal side, if you don't have a transfer budget, you could do a lot with a good shakeout. Mm. Like you could get good money for players like Ozil and David Luiz, and not excellent money, but you could sell them for good money and buy good, young, hungry players.
Yeah.
You know, even, is there a need for a team like Arsenal to have both Lacazette and Aubameyang?
Well, they can't. They don't seem to be, I don't know, they don't seem to, it just doesn't seem to work or something. Like, I don't know what, and especially with Pepe there as well.
If you went into the transfer market and sold someone like Lacazette, the money you get from that sale, you could buy two young players, the likes of Daniel James or Madison, or, you know, up and coming players, Wilson that's on loan at Bournemouth from Liverpool, those type of players. If you could do similar to what Chelsea have been forced to do and rely on youth a little bit and go into the transfer market and look for these gems, you know? I don't know. It's just a thought. I don't know. They have all these superstars that are probably on big wages and it's not working.
You know, when you look at it though, their defensive frailties are obvious. Kieran Tierney's out for 3 months now with a dislocated shoulder. That's an absolutely massive blow for them. Their centre, they don't have centre halves that are nearly good enough.
Yeah.
Their midfield is too weak and they've got three brilliant players up front. But like, they're too top heavy and the dogs in the street knew that at the start of the season.
Absolutely.
And they did nothing about it. Why? That's the question you have to ask. Why? Are they trying to just not spend money and get rid of this club?
They did bring in Pepe.
They brought in, but top heavy again. Yeah,
But it's not like...
How do you think that David Luiz was a good boy?
It's not like they weren't spending money. They did spend money, but they spent it wrong. They spent it very poorly.
That's it. That's what I'm saying. The club has been mismanaged. Who in the name of God signs off on those transfers? I can't pronounce his name, but I know the guy. He's the Spanish guy with the ridiculous name. Mm. But it's just chronic.
Yeah.
It is chronic.
Anyway, let's make a prediction for this game.
Everton. I actually think Everton will outbattle them. That's how bad things are at Arsenal. I think Everton will just plainly kick the shit out of them on the field and they might snatch it with a goal.
Yeah, I think it's at Goodison and Everton are kind of playing with a high tempo. They're playing with the passion that Duncan Ferguson has on the sideline. Mm. They're doing that at the moment and I think that Arsenal just won't be able to handle that.
I don't think Arsenal want to handle that.
Exactly.
They're all flash and no guts, I think.
Yeah, exactly.
That it doesn't work out unless you're completely outclassing your opponent.
Yeah.
And this Arsenal team don't outclass many in the Premier League. Because when you look at their squad, they're top heavy in attack and they're a very good attack. But other than that, a lot of players that could be playing for a lot of mid-table clubs.
Yeah, yeah. And you've just seen, he played Torreira and Guendouzi against City and they may as well have not been on the pitch.
Yeah, and at one stage, I know he's probably disheartened, but Aubameyang was just that walking pace, closing people down. He just didn't care because he knew there was no hope. That's a sad set of affairs.
Yeah.
He's supposed to be the man leading the line and closing people down. You never know, like just to put pressure on City, but walk and piss for a lot of it.
Yeah. Right, so we're both going for an Everton win on this.
Yeah. I think it'd be Everton 1-0. They might snatch a goal. And I just don't see... I don't know what Arsenal, they're just looking abject. You never know. And we've Said this million times, and Arsenal won't win 3-0, but I don't know.
I will say, even though with Everton's kind of resurgence at the moment, they are still conceding a few goals.
Mm.
And you're never guaranteed a clean sheet when you're playing against Aubameyang, Pepe and Lacazette.
Yeah, that's true. And Arsenal, to their credit, have scored 24 goals this season. So it's not as if that they're not scoring. It's just that the mood is so low at the club, I think, that if Everton get in their faces early and maybe got an early goal, I think the heads will just drop very quickly.
I think Everton are going to win this, but I do think both teams will score.
Mm.
And on that bombshell, we're going to take a little break. And when we get back, we will rattle through the rest of the fixtures for the weekend.
I'd say just go through it, whatever the fuck way.
Well, welcome back. The mics are on, Owen. The mics are on.
Well, let me get that giggle out of my system now.
Oh, you better believe this is staying in the
edit. Ah, fuck off. It's not staying in. All right, go on.
All right. Anyway, welcome back to the Premier League Preview Podcast. I'm still Sean Fitzmaurice. He's hysterical on Maloney. We've got six more fixtures to go through. We're going to start from the top and work our way down. And we're going to start off with the most scintillating fixture you've ever heard of. It's Newcastle United versus Crystal Palace.
Oh, this game. If this game doesn't get you excited, then you ain't a football fan, baby. this is just...
Steve Bruce gets me excited.
Oh, God. Yeah.
Not as much as why.
We probably should add in, we're recording this on Monday night because we're both incredibly busy people. So Crystal Palace and Brighton have not yet played. So we're operating on... We're going to call that a nil-all draw because that's probably what it's going to be anyway. So we'll just operate...
I think Crystal Palace are going to win that. But
yeah, okay, let's not talk about things that are actually going to have happened
by the time the podcast is
up. You drive everyone that's listening insane. But anyway, this has the look of an absolutely terrible game of football because even though Newcastle haven't been that bad, they're going to be without Maximan for a while though, which is actually dreadful for them. That's a real, real loss to them.
Yeah.
But this is a hard game to call because these are two of the most dour, weird teams to predict. You just do not know what you're going to get from them from one week to the other, especially Palace. But I slightly favour Newcastle here.
I think I favour Newcastle as well, just by virtue of they're at home. There's moderate to fair feeling around the club. I just think they're in a better position to win this game. I think Palace have been very lucky to not concede very many goals because they haven't scored very many goals. And their league position of 10th is just by virtue of being so absolutely incredibly boring.
It's flattery. And if the 10th position is flattery, in my opinion, if there's any Burnley fans, we do apologise because we completely and utterly wrote Burnley off. Well, I did anyway, against Newcastle. And they pulled off a well-needed victory. They really had to stop the rot because things were starting to slide badly. They'd lost three and they got a drubbings in some of those games. So it was a massive result for Burnley and Newcastle. I don't think Newcastle were probably expecting that. It kind of left. Newcastle were kind of on the ascendancy before that and that has knocked them back a bit now. But I agree with you. Even though there's not much to choose between these two, Newcastle maybe might just edge it, but the loss of Maximan is a massive for them because he was their live wire when he came to form this season.
It is a game that could very easily be a dour 0-0.
Oh, it could.
I'm going to go for a Newcastle win on this game and then we're going to move on to, you're going for a Newcastle win as well, are you?
I don't know. I think it could be a shitty draw, but I'm going to go with a 0-0 draw. I'm actually going to pin my colours to the mast here, a 0-0 misery.
Excellent. Okay, great stuff. Move on to Norwich versus Wolves. Wolves have to be very disappointed after their unbeaten run was broken by Spurs at the weekend. Norwich...
Probably happy to get a point.
In fairness, that was a brilliant point for Norwich.
It was, because it wasn't expected. And
They would have wrote that game off as a 0 point. So it's a bonus point for them. Probably a bit too much to expect them to do the same to Wolves, though, as well.
Maybe you never know. Lightning can strike twice. And not, as I said earlier, Norwich are a very hard team to predict. They can often be like, we've seen them beat City, we've seen them end Leicester's unbeaten run that didn't look like it was going to ever stop.
Yeah,
but
true.
they, when it clicks for Norwich, they play really nice football. It's just simple fact that they can't defend, unfortunately. Yeah. It kind of hinders you when you can't defend in the Premier League. And that is just a simple fact. Wolves have been incredible form, except for last weekend, obviously. Wolves
are a side who defend very well and attack very well.
They're a very well-balanced side, they are.
Yeah, if there's any frailties in Wolves, it's probably in the centre of midfield. But
yeah,
defensively and attacking-wise, they're up there with a lot of teams in the Premier League. And I think they just probably have a bit too much for Norwich. Yeah. Like those forwards, the likes of Jimenez and Neves and Jota.
Traore, Moutinho. There's a lot of good players.
Against that Norwich defence, you would expect them to have too much.
Would too, to be honest. Unless Norwich pull another one out of the bag. This could actually be a really exciting game to watch. This could be one of those ones that you could see a 3-2 type of a game. I think it could be good. But
hats off to Pukki. He's still scoring goals.
He is, in fairness. After a cold spell there, after a flying start to the season, he's bounced back again.
We wrote him off after his flying start to the season and said, oh, that's his purple patch now. He's done for the rest of the season. But he's still... not every week, but he's still scoring goals.
Yeah, he's one of the ones that when Norwich do go down... Win, not if... When Norwich do go down, he could be hanging around. He could make a sideways move to another club. You could see him at the likes of a Palace type of a thing if they manage to somehow stay up.
Yeah.
But you know,
I see his future more in a kind of a Werder Bremen type of club.
That's a random one, but anyway.
He doesn't really strike me as a stalwart of the Premier League.
Maybe he won't.
One of these flashes
but
in the
pants. You know what? He's very good. He's very good.
He knows where the goal is.
He does.
I'm going to go for a Wolves win on this one.
I agree with you. Unfortunately, we're very boring to listen to. You think I'd come out with something controversial, but no, there's not going to be much controversy in this game. I don't think. I don't see Norwich holding out again, but who knows? Who knows? But no, I don't see it.
The next game we're going to talk about, it's a very difficult one to call because both sides were in absolutely hideous form. Both, I think, had lost 4 on the trot, and then both went out at the weekend and won their games. Burnley versus Bournemouth.
Yeah. Jesus, I don't think Tim, I know, if any are on Twitter, you probably saw Bournemouth's tweet of the no context Eddie Ahern video. It was just a dig at everyone that had pretty much written Bournemouth off against Chelsea because they were unanimously written off that they wouldn't have a hope in Stamford
Bridge. Whatever about Burnley's result against Newcastle, Burnley are a good side and they could beat Newcastle any season, any week. But Bournemouth, on the form they were on, to go to Stamford Bridge and beat Chelsea, that's a massive result.
With their injury list and the form they were in, to go to Chelsea was huge. And do you know what? They battered Chelsea. They actually, if you watch the first half of that game, they had 5 or 6 very good chances. They battered Chelsea.
One very worrying thing though for Bournemouth is probably their best player, with all the injuries they have, they've 11 players injured, 11 first team players injured, but now their on loan player, Harry Wilson, who was probably their best player for the season, he's picked up an injury. They don't know what it is, and they've actually sent him back to Liverpool to have the injury assessed.
Yeah.
They said... Eddie Howe said after the game it was a dead leg, but it keeps swelling and they can't get the swelling down, so they're very worried about it. He's called it a strange injury and he's gone back to Liverpool to have it assessed. And without Harry Wilson, it weakens them a lot. Like
it does, and it weakens them even more after, as we said, Callum Wilson will be out for a while, I think. Nathan Aki is out, which is a monstrous loss.
Yeah.
Adam Smith is a list that we could be here all day listing out there in trouble injury wise, but you know what? They could still pull this one out of the bag.
Yeah.
If they can do it in Stamford Bridge, they can do it here at home and against a Burnley team that aren't great.
No, Burnley are poor. I find this probably the toughest fixture to call a result for this week.
I think Bournemouth might just do it after the big win last week against Chelsea, going back home now again. Might just steady the ship and get another 3 points. I have a funny feeling. And I know Burnley would be delighted to bag their 3 points. Had they lost, I think they'd lost 3 in the bounce. They had, they're tough, but they're not great. And I think Bournemouth might just have a bit for them.
I'm going to sit on the fence in this one and go for a draw, yeah, because I just can't see what way it's going to go. Let's move on to Watford versus Manchester United. Watford, although they lost to Liverpool at the weekend, they created some chances and they were probably better than Liverpool for most of the game. Liverpool were at a canter. They didn't have their head in the game. United, They did well to come back against Everton. They've had two good results before that, but they're not great on the road.
No, they're not.
You would think that Nigel Pearson, he's a very defensive manager and sets up his team very well and very organised sides. So it's not going to be an easy fixture for United, I wouldn't imagine. I know, you know, Watford are a rock bottom at the table, and normally you would expect Manchester United to visit any club that's rock bottom at the table and beat them easily, but I don't think that's going to it's going to shape up that way.
Well, United have shown glimpses of brilliant form, especially like against City in the first half. They were brilliant for the first half an hour. They have copped out too much. They've drawn three of their last five.
Yeah.
They've drawn plenty of games. How many have they had? What have they drawn this season? They've drawn seven games this season.
And we're on 17 match
games,
weeks.
Yeah, they've nearly drawn half their games. Yeah. And or 40% somewhere around that. They need to be more ruthless is what they need now. And this is a chance to be ruthless, because you're looking at Chelsea playing Spurs, the two teams above them.
Yeah.
This is a glorious chance for them to close the gap on one of them at least.
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe both. This is a game that if they really have any designs now on being a Champions League team for next year, if they have any designs on being a top four team, this is a game they're going to have to go out and just dismantle Watford and just prove it that they're a top four team. I think they might, but I agree with you that I don't think Watford did not make it easy for Liverpool a lot of that game.
Yeah, and that was at Anfield. So you would expect they would be even tougher to beat at home if Nigel Pearson is able to work with them and get them. Like, let's not forget, this is the same side that was in the top six last season.
Mm.
Do you know what I mean? They have had a very poor start to the season, but they are by no means squad-wise worthy of being rock bottom of the league.
Yeah, I suppose you are right there. But they've had such a bad start, and it went on for so long.
Yeah.
Sometimes those bad starts just continue and they end up being bad seasons. And I just feel like this is one of those. And I do think Man United will go on the road and get a win. But it'd be great to see Norwich take a result, wouldn't it?
Watford.
Watford. Jeez, I'm losing my mind. Yeah,
no, I do.
Yeah, it'd be great to see Watford go and get a result. But you're hoping that initial first game, it was a fairly good, solid performance against Liverpool. I know Liverpool at Mo. In the end, two brilliant finishes, but I don't know. I'd still worry for Watford. I don't see it being a dramatic turnaround.
If I was a United fan and United didn't go there and win the game, I would be asking some serious questions. That's the way
they'd want to be going and winning this game now. They really would. If they have any designs now, they can close up.
Especially with Chelsea faltering at the moment, this is the time for United to make hay. It's the time for United and Spurs to make hay and really make a go for that top four spot. I think it's probably a bridge too far for them, but I think if they have designs on doing that, then they have to be going to Watford and winning comfortably.
They're only 4 points off of it, so this is a chance now to close that gap even more. So I think they'll take it, but may not get it all their own way, because the league leaders didn't against at home to Watford. And if they do steal themselves up a small little bit at the back, you never know. They might nick a draw, but I'd fancy United here.
Yep, I agree with you on that one. Okay, Aston Villa are in absolutely dire form. I said it last week that they're tumbling towards the relegation zone. It hasn't really changed, and now they are welcoming Southampton, who are probably in even worse form.
Yeah, this is huge, isn't it?
This is huge for both sides. This is a relegation six-pointer if ever there was one.
Yeah. Either team takes a win here, it's a massive blow for the loser and a massive victory for the victor. Calling it, on the other hand, is very hard, because you just never know with Villa. You just don't know with Villa. They can be great from one moment to the next. I think Tyrone Mings is out until the new year. That's very big for them.
Yeah, I mean, West Ham's victory over Southampton was massive at the weekend. Massive in terms of the bottom of the table, massive in terms of Pellegrini's job, and massive in terms of...
Bought himself a bit of time,
massive in terms of Hasenhüttl's job.
Yeah.
It's another chink in his armour, another chink in his record, and you can't see Saints putting up with it much longer. And as much as I like Hasenhüttl, I think he's a great manager, he did a great job there last year to get them out of trouble, but it's just not working out, and it's looking like there could be a change very shortly.
If they lose this, they very well might be at Christmas, I know, obviously, you have the anomaly there of the 9-0 to Leicester, but they still conceded 36 goals in 17 games,
yeah,
most in the Premier League, and that is just shocking. So,
I mean, they're both Southampton and Villa are both sitting, let's call it joint third from bottom.
They there's nothing between them.
They're both on 15 reality. Points. There's literally, if you look at their form and their goal differences and whatnot, there's literally nothing to divide them.
Yeah, but obviously Southampton have an awful goal difference due to that drubbing against Leicester. But other than that, there's not much to split them. Villa are capable of scoring. They score, but they're just shaky at the back. Mings is alone, ploughing a lone furrow at the back. They don't have much quality other than him at the back. And now with him out, this is a really, really tough game to call.
Only saving grace for Aston Villa missing Mings in this game is that Southampton are probably the worst scoring record in the Premier League. They just can't buy goals at the moment.
Yeah, barring Watford, I think they've scored the least in the league, or the joint least in the league. Anyway, something along those lines. So,
let's make a call on it. As tough as it is, let's pin our colours to the mast and make a call.
Villa, because I genuinely believe they have the quality. If they can put it all together, I think they have the quality to stay up, and I think they have more quality than Southampton. And I do think that they might just snatch the 3 points at home, but by God, I think they'll earn it.
I think Southampton have more quality than Villa, believe it or not.
I think when it all clicks for Villa, they're actually class to watch, but it's when does it all click? It's trying to predict that is very, very hard.
But we've seen that Southampton side be very good in the past as well.
I'd say the lads that have their accumulators on a Saturday, just avoid Villa games because they just don't know what's going to happen.
I'm going to go with a Southampton win on this one.
I'm going to go Villa win. At least we're split on one.
Yeah. We've been split on a couple before that, I think. Definitely have. The last game that we need to have a look at is Brighton, who are probably, I would say, playing above their station by being 13th in the league. I definitely had them as a relegation contender. And Sheffield United, who are firmly looking at Europa League spots.
Yeah, 100%. Another win and another convincing win at the weekend.
Yeah.
They're playing some stuff. They're playing serious stuff. We'd have to give a shout out David McGoldrick, some man, put in some performance at the weekend on the Republic of Ireland. Hope. But they're playing incredible stuff and there's no signs of stopping. They're rock solid as well.
One thing I will say about Brighton is a lot of teams will beat Brighton, but they make it tough as hell.
You do earn it to beat Brighton. Yeah, they're physical as well and they're well able to throw their weight around. And we saw it against Wolves. They turned that into a real dogfight and they managed to get the draw. But I don't know. I just don't think Brighton have quality. And
I just think
that's where you'll struggle for Brighton, I'm afraid.
I think the mood is so high at Sheffield United at the moment. I think those players must be walking on cloud nine, looking at their league position and looking at the results they're churning out. I think the fans must be in seventh heaven. They can't believe what's happened.
It is unreal, aside
just come up. And I think sometimes that positive mood can just keep winning your games.
Yeah, I fully fancy Sheffield. Now, obviously, we're speaking as Crystal Palace, which we're not looking at, as Crystal Palace and Brighton are playing.
Yeah.
So we don't know how Brighton are going to get on the previous game week. But as of right now, I'm looking at it. I fancy Sheffield United to go on the road and beat Brighton.
I fully agree with you. Because
we've seen it before as well earlier in the season. If they have to adopt really ball busting tactics is what you'd call them, that they frustrate the living life out of you away from home, they can do it as well.
Yeah.
But they're well able to have a cut and they were not afraid to do it. And I just think they're better, quite put simply, they are better than Brighton. I think they'll show it.
Yeah, we have pointed it out throughout the season so far that Sheffield United have been very good at picking their games. They know what games they need to sit in and they know what games they can attack. And I definitely think that they'll see this as a game they can attack and they'll go there to score goals. And
it's a nice journey now. It's a nice journey down, but they're lucky to get over that. Teams have to travel. But if they can settle in the first 20-25 minutes, not concede, I see them going on the ascendancy. And they do finish games really strongly, is a trend I've noticed with Sheffield United.
Yeah.
They can often start games slowly, but by God, they finish them strongly. And I can just see that happening. I can see them starting. It just easing their way into the game, not conceding against Brighton, then getting the upper hand and maintaining it, and I can see him winning it.
Yep, I agree on every single one of those points. And on that, beautifully harmonious note, we're going to leave it for this week. Once again, follow us on Twitter, Premier_podcast. Go to our website, plpreview.com.
Give us money.
Yeah,
plenty of it too.
Yeah, give us loads. Christmas is coming and there's drinking to be done. Yeah. So, you know, there's a donate button there and there is a Patreon button there. So if you do enjoy our podcast and you feel like you get value from it, well then, you know, give us some value back. That's all I'm saying. And if not, then just at least leave us a comment or send us a message.
Yeah, abuse. I'll take abuse as much as I'll take money.
Yeah, just let us know how much you enjoy the podcast or how much you don't enjoy the podcast. Yeah,
how we know nothing.
And we will be back next Monday to return the abuse.
Yeah, sounds good. Yep. Yeah, please. Yeah, that's a promise, actually. That's my promise. If you abuse me, I promise to abuse you back.
And on that note, we'll leave it there and we will see you next week.
Good luck.
This is the Premier League Preview Podcast. Follow us on Twitter at Premier_podcast. Find us on Facebook under Premier League Preview Podcast or online at plpreview.com.